Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Well, we're so glad everybody's here, the wise and the wonderful. We're up to date on the announcements. So after Brian gives a little talk, real little, just until he starts to conclude, and then it's going to be really long. I'm just giving him a hard time. Did you hear what I said? Just a little talk. I said, until you say in conclusion, then. No, he doesn't do that. All right. Well, so come on up. I don't know what else to say, but here he is in all of his wonderful self-ishness. So come on and lay it on us, brother. We're all ready for it.
You ready?
Ready for it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And in conclusion...
Start off with your conclusion.
Yeah, that way I got all the time I need.
Hey, will you mute the iPod so I can unplug?
Let me ask you guys a question. Well, yeah, let me ask you a question. If I ask you where a smoke detector is at, what would you say? Ceiling. Right? Been doing this a long time, and sure enough, wherever. If you're looking for one around here, then you, yeah. Typically, it's on the ceiling, right? I mean, almost every place I've been, they've been up high, because that's where the smoke goes, right? Well, a couple of weeks ago, we get called to a house. We get called for all kinds of stuff, and typically, if you call us after 8 o'clock, it better be a sure enough emergency, or we're going to be talking ugly about you on the way home. Uh-oh. Well, we'll be talking ugly about you on the way there, too. Because on the computer, it tells us what the complaint is. A lot of times, it's just a fire alarm or medical emergency. But this particular day was they can't turn off their smoke detectors and they need help. Okay? Well, we're going to one of the newest additions in South Lake, and it's $1 million-plus homes, right? All of them. So you're thinking, well, in this particular area, these are people that are able-bodied people that are probably still working. So on the way over, they were like, for real? You know, you're calling us out here after 8 o'clock at night? You know? So we get there, and as soon as I walk through the door, it wasn't now there's a difference between a detector going off and a low battery. Big difference. Little chirp is a battery. When it activates, it's usually a long beep. But this was just a beep. So I thought, okay. She told me, I've been looking since 3 o'clock this afternoon trying to find this beep. And she said, if you can't find it, we're packing up and going to a motel. Like, okay. Well, they were moving in, so there was, you know, stuff scattered everywhere, boxes. And I said, okay, well, fresh set of ears, fresh set of eyes. We'll check it out. And I'll take a moment there. I think when people don't know what to do at their wit's end, no matter what it may be, hey, let's call the fire department. Them guys know everything. You know? And a lot of times we're just as dumb as you are. We just walk in there and act like we know what we're doing. So I go in there, and sure enough, it beeps. So the kitchen and the living room area is just like one big open space with probably 20-foot ceilings, right? It's just way high. Taller than we got sticks to stick it. Pipe pulls. So, you know, we're all looking. Beep. So I send Lauren and Ray upstairs. I said, y'all go check upstairs. Because sometimes, you know, you'll hear a beep over here and it'll echo over here. And this particular kitchen had a balcony that went all the way around the kitchen. So I sent them up there. Beep. It's not up here, BT. We know that for sure. Okay. So I'm looking and it's going and we're about 5 minutes into this thing. And I thought, well, they said, well, maybe it's up in the attic? And I'm like, I don't think so, because we it'd be a muffled beep, right? We probably might not even hear it. So then I looked up, and you can see the top of a refrigerator and a big windowsill that had a ledge about that big. And I thought, I wonder if these knuckleheads just set one down up there. You know, I am a smart thinker every now and then. So I climbed the stairs. I looked down. Nothing. So now I am at my end of ideals. So I walk over, and I just kind of lean up against the island. And I'm talking to them, and beep. I said, have y'all checked all this area right here? Yeah. Sure? Beep. Moved some trash back, or not trash, but some stuff back. They had 3 CO detectors, and these guys get plugged into the wall. A lot of them just get plugged into the wall. Well, they weren't plugged into the wall, and the battery was getting low. So it was giving off a chirp like a smoke detector that's activated. I pick it up. I hold it in my hand. Beep. So here you go. So we took the battery out of it, waited a few minutes. Nothing. Well, the lady felt horrible. She's like, I've been looking for this thing for 5 hours, and it was right there the whole time. And she said, we owe y'all supper. I said, no, you don't owe us anything. I said, you've given us more than you'll ever know. I said, because tomorrow morning when the next shift comes in, we're going to tell them you ain't going to believe this call we just made. And she just laughed. I said, you know, we won't say no names. We'll just say it's in the Carolina edition. And, yeah, they called us out for that. I said, but the funny thing is, I said, we looked too. It had us stumped for a while. But I say that. It's a funny story, right? I like to share with you guys some of the funny stuff that we get to see every now and then. But, you know, it brings up a good point, and this could even be a sermon. Looking for things where you always expect that thing to be. When we go looking for a smoke detector, we're not digging around in closets. We're not in bathrooms. A lot of times we're not even in a kitchen. But you go to the hallways, you go to the bedrooms, you go to the living rooms. That's where you're going to find one. You always look up. Sometimes Satan will do that to us. He'll put little things over here to distract us, make us think we're looking in the right spot, but we're really not looking in the right spot. You know? Okay, enough about that. My sermon today is on car washes. No, it's really not. This morning at prayer, Pastor Steve was asking me, you're going to be there today, right? And I said, am I supposed to be? He goes, sure. I said, sing, right? He goes, no, to talk. And I said, okay. And then we get to talking about car wash stuff. And he goes, oh, there's your good sermon. I said, great. I said, you guys just can't let on that this is where I got it from. But they didn't. They just kind of kept their cool. I did, yeah. So Steve can't even use it no more, so. In my readings, studying in the Word, came to James. And this is something that you guys have heard many times. And you could teach me a lesson about a lot of this stuff just from life experiences and times you've been to church and probably heard more sermons on it than I am years alive. But when I was reading it and I was thinking, Lord, what do you want me to talk about today? This everything kept coming back to this. I'd think, well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, what about that? And next, finally, it came back to this. So we're gonna talk just a few minutes, and in conclusion, about why trials and temptations. There's quite a bit of reading on the front end. Back end's not near as bad. Okay. And we're looking at James chapter 1, verses 1-18. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really like how a lot of them start out that way. A servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you start reading into their word, start talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, adoptions and stuff. But they considered themselves servants of the Lord. Amen? To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. What a way to start a book out, right? Hey, when you're in hard times, hey, that's time to be happy. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their positions, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat, and it withers the plant. Its blossoms fall, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chooses to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit for all he created. Amen. There's a lot of really good stuff right there. There's a lot of deep there. There's a lot of like, whoa, I don't know about that. And then there's, ooh, I like that. But there's a lot there. And I want to pick out three truths that affect how we should understand and respond to trials and temptations. You guys can attest to it more so than I, that trials and temptations are inevitable in everybody's life. The longer you live, the more of them you're going to face. Right? Some of them are just little bitty, you know. Others are like, feel like you're going to just ready to die. Take me away now, Lord, because this is more than I can bear. But how we understand what's going on and how we respond to them has everything to do with our faith. When I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, as a Christian, we have someone with us that sticks closer than a brother to help us in those situations. The world doesn't. All they have is their own understanding and their own people to rely on and lean on and to give them advice. And we know that that's not always the best. They're really fortunate if they get some good advice from the world. But we as Christians have someone that would be there to comfort our heart in time of need. And sometimes it just hurts so bad we don't even want to be comforted. You know what I mean? So we've all suffered loss in our lives, and it's like it's just unbearable. Let me grieve for a little bit. Let me just hurt for a minute or two. But God's there for us. God's there with us. Amen? Point one. Let's just jump off into this. We know that God is sovereign. First off, God's sovereign over everything. But God is sovereign in our trials. Even though we go through trials of all kinds of situations, we know that in these, and we can surely from his word know that everything is for the good, right? He has a purpose behind everything. And when I was thinking about that and doing some other reading about trials and tribulations, you'll see these two kind of hand in hand, trials and tribulations. Some of those trials and tribulations are our own making, right? We do those on and up. We don't need nobody's help with those. The first thing that comes to my mind is if you're an alcoholic and you drink, Hey, you know, you can't blame nobody else for that one. If you're having trials and tribulations there, troubles in your life because of that. But then we all know as Christians that there are times that the Lord tests us. The good thing is, as we've read, that he doesn't test us with evil, right? If it's an evil thing, we know it's not of God. But God tests us to test our faith. The moment that we accepted him, we entered into a lifestyle that where he wants to take us from that very moment to the time we stand before him in heaven. And all these troubles and all these trials that we go through are an opportunity for him to refine us and to make us what he wants us to be. So that when we stand before him, hey, now we're his first fruit. That's what he called us, right? It's his purpose for our lives. But if we get into the attitude of, why you do this? You know, the world wants to say, oh, he's a loving God. And he is a loving God. You know how the world will take some things and twist them. We know that God is love. God loves us so much that he gave his only son. But he's the same God that tests us. He's the same God that allows things into our life to make us more like him and to become those first fruits. But the world says, you know what? How can a loving God want to make you sick? Oh, that's not true. How can a loving God not want to make you rich? Just name it and claim it. We've all heard that before, right? Now, I know that there is power in our words. And that sometimes we can speak over ourselves condemnation, and the next thing you know, we're down, you know? And that's just the enemy working through our flesh to condemn us. But that's not what God wants to do. Sometimes, I believe that sometimes God can send illness our way to test us. Okay, you know, what are you going to do? Hey, you got the cancer. What are you going to do? You going to die? Well, you will die. Or are you going to trust in me? You know? And even if you get the cancer and you don't survive it, it's the attitude of the heart that when you stand before God, you know what? I knew you could do that. And I've made you what I want you to be. When you come stand before me, you know? So even though you're dying of something, it's like, you know what? God's still God. God is sovereign. God has his purpose behind everything that we do. Everything that he does, right? Let me catch up with my notes because I'm way off. How about this when James says, consider it great joy. Some versions say pure joy, right? When we face stuff like that, he's not saying, well, maybe you should feel good about it, you know? He's like, no, consider it pure joy. And if we get in the mindset, and I think if I get in the mindset, that when things, hard times come my way and things just aren't going right, if you get in that attitude and you start thinking, well, you know what? Maybe God's wanting to do something in me and for me. I think about Job when you hear this, right? And we know the story of Job, how that the devil came before God and said, hey, consider this guy right here. What about him? You take this away from him and he'll curse you. Okay, take it away. Let's see what happens. You know, he took it away. Job never failed God, did he? But you know what's cool about that? Is God will not put more on us than he knows we can bear. The devil can come up there and say, well, hey, what about taking that sorry wife of his? Well, maybe not her, you know, that might be the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, you would think after taking his children, his home and all his livestock and everything that he had, hey, just take her too, you know, please.
Wow.
But we never know. We can laugh about it, but we never know. She might have been the one that would have broke the camel's back. And God knew that. And God in his sovereignty says, can't do that. We know the story that God says you can't take his life. You can hurt him, make him sick as a dog, right? But you can't take his life. That's the cool thing about that when we go through trials, that we know that they're for a purpose, and we know that God's not going to put more on us than we can bear. We know that God's not going to tempt us with evil. So if there's an evil temptation come along, red flags ought to go up and say, this isn't from God. This is from somewhere else that we're going to fix and see. Amen? His goal is to make us mature and grow in His likeness so that one day when we stand before Him, we'll be ready to meet Him. Amen? Point number two. Uh-oh. Did I skip a couple of verses there? Proverbs 16 and 19 says, in their hearts human... I got it right here. Hang on. Did we go to 115:3? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him. 16 and 9. In their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And then Romans 8:28, we all know this one, right? And we know that all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. You can't stop there. And who have been called according to His purpose. Got to be there. Okay, I think we're on line now. Point number two. What did Flip Wilson say? Those of us in a room that remember Flip Wilson.
Devil made me do it.
Well, James is saying you can't use the devil as your excuse no more. James says that when we are tempted like this, we are tempted because we're drawn away by our own evil, lustful desires. Right? He's not saying, you know, hey, if the government, man, if they would give me subsidies like they do those farmers, I'd have it great. You know, I wouldn't be falling. I wouldn't be sinning. We can't blame the government for that. We can't blame our neighbors, you know. We can't blame our family members, you know. If they'd have done this, they'd have done that, I'd have been a better person. Now, if I'm failing, it's because Brian Thomas is failing. And I'm drawn away by my own fleshly desires. James is wanting to protect us from something here. I said a while ago, the world says if a God that loves us so much, why would He allow these kind of things to happen? Well, God loves us, but He gave us the free moral choice that we have to do good and evil. And a lot of times we'll get trials and temptations kind of mixed up. Well, the Lord is tempting me. He's testing me. He's tempting me to do this. Ha! It's not God tempting you to do anything. The Lord may be trying you to test you, but He's not tempting you, especially with evil. And if we're drawn away, it's because of our own doing. A lot of times we want to call into God's justice when things aren't going our way. Well, why is it the world gets to do this? Hey, it's Sunday. They all get to go play. I'm going to go play too. I'm not going to go to church no more, right? I can go to church. I can watch TV and I don't have to go to church, you know. Next thing you know, my desires have led me down a road that I shouldn't have gone down. Sometimes our desires may not be bad right off. But when we take that first step, you know, it's kind of like the alcoholic. You know, you don't become an alcoholic the first day. You got to take a little step. You got to take that first drink, right? You got to smoke the marijuana for the first time. You know, they call the marijuana the gateway drug. Most people don't just go straight to the hard stuff right off. You know, take those baby steps, and we can kind of justify, you know what, it feels good. It's okay, I'll just do one. You know? Well, it's okay. It's okay if I miss the day and go out to the lake with the buddies. You know, that's all. I'll do that. Next weekend, hey, man, we're going back out to the lake. You want to go with us? We had such a good time last week. We'll just go on and go with you too. Now, have I sinned and gone to hell because I've missed church a Sunday to go out with my buddies? I wouldn't say that I've gone and condemned my soul for that. But if I take that first step towards something that's not going to lead me in the right direction, next thing I know, I'm down a road and it's Sunday morning and I got my shorts on, not even thinking about church anymore. Because now I've walked this walk. It's because of my own desires. It's not because God is like, hey, I put a lake out here. It's beautiful. You know? Man has these pretty boats. You should go try it. You know? Go try it. It's not because God put it out there. It's because my desire was, hey, I want to go out there and enjoy that. Next thing I know, I've forgotten about church. I've forgotten about God. Amen. I just use that as an illustration. So I'm working Sunday. I'm not going to be on the lake Sunday. I might have shorts on. Yes, it's a Sunday. We'll pause there for a sec. Around the South Lake Fire Station, Sundays is a sacred day. You come walking in the station, and yeah, there's a fire truck out there. You go put your gear beside it, and that, hopefully that's the last time you see that fire truck. Because now we're going to wear our shorty shorts all day, and we'll eat a big breakfast, and then we'll usually take a nap for the rest of the day. Maybe get up about 2, 3 o'clock, eat us a little snack, maybe watch a little TV, go back to bed, get up in time for supper, eat a little supper, clean the kitchen up, and go right back to bed. That's a Sunday. We digressed there, didn't we? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7. Can you pull up the others? 17? Paul tells us that it's not anything in me. It's my sinful nature. For I know that the good in itself does not dwell within me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but cannot carry it out. We in and of ourselves just can't be good people. Because we in and of ourselves are sinful people. I don't mean we're going to go out and kill people because we're in and of ourselves. But we're not going to be pleasing to the Lord. We're going to be serving self. Brings me to another point. You know, it talks about crucifying the flesh. He tells us we need to do that every day. God realizes how powerful the flesh can be in a person. And it's like, hey, look, you know, it's not one of these come to me today and you can live with me the rest of your life, because you can. But every day you need to crucify that flesh. Every morning we need, before we take a step, say, Lord, not my will, but thy will. And then we need to remind ourselves that. I need to remind myself of that about every 10 or 15, 20 seconds. It's not about me. Don't let Brian Thomas come out. Because once Brian Thomas comes out, it's kind of like the Jack in the Box, right? Once he comes out, man, it's Katie bar the doors, because Brian is Brian. The other thing about that is that's been on my mind a lot is he talks about the man that had the unclean spirits. He come in and he swept the house clean. The Lord did his work. The evil spirits are gone. But the man didn't do anything to fill that house back up. So those evil spirits went wandering around for a little while. And they look and they see a vacancy sign on this door. And they're like, hey, let's grab all our friends and we're going to go enjoy this. They've remodeled the place for us, you know. And then when he comes back, it's like the guy was worse off than he was at the very beginning. So we got to crucify the flesh. We got to kick the devil out daily. But once we do that, we've got to turn around and fill that vessel back up with the Holy Spirit on a continuous basis. Because if we don't, we're going to be worse off than we were before. Point number, do I have any more slides there, guys? I better check. Point number 3. God is faithful for our salvation. Amen. In the midst of our trials, God is there. In the midst of our troubles in life, whether created on our own or whether created by somebody else, God is still there. Even in the temptation portion of it, God is still there. Hear me now, I didn't say God causes the temptation, but God is still there. 1 Corinthians, can you pull that up real quick? I don't think I've printed that out. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. We can't believe the enemy's lies, because the enemy will want to lead us in the wrong direction. The enemy will say that God's dead, God don't care about you, you know, hey, just go and do what you need to do. But 1 Corinthians says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is what? Faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So even in and of ourselves, because James says we're drawn away by our evil desires, but God is still there saying, you know what? I know he wants to do it, but we ain't going to let him do it. Because I know that if he goes this far, it's going to be too bad. But God is faithful to be there for us. And I like that part, last part. It says, but when you are tempted, he will also, what? Provide a way out so that you will stand under it. So even in the midst of our own stupid temptations, God is there. God has provided a way for us. But it's up to us. And a lot of times, admittedly to me, a lot of times, I might be thinking, yeah, there's the door number two. But you know what? Door number one is wide open, and I'm running like everything to get to that door number one. And the next thing I know, I have failed God. But God is faithful, even in the midst of our trials, even in the midst of our tribulations and temptations, He's still there. And He provides a way for us to get out of there. Amen? So we know that God is sovereign. And in conclusion, God is sovereign over everything. God is sovereign over our trials. He tests us to make us pure and holy before Him. We know that when temptation comes our way, it's our own fault. It's not the devil made me do it. It's not anybody else made me do it. It's my own doggone fault. It's not because the billboards are half-naked women or some good-looking feller. How about that? You know, that causes you to tempt or fail. It's because of my own fault. We laugh about it at work. You can take and put $100 bill on the table, and that thing will draw dust. We might move it to wipe the table off, but it'll still be there. But you lay one cookie, and that dog could be old as everything, hard as a rock. We're going to get some milk and eat that bad boy. All right? So the Lord knows if you put cookies out in front of firemen, they're going to eat it. So let's don't put cookies in front of firemen, you know? We know that when we're drawn away, it's because of our own doing. And even when it's our own doing, we know that God is faithful to be there to provide us a way to get out of that mess that He's put us, that we've put ourselves in. And that's the beauty of it, you know? No matter how far we've wandered away, God is still there. He provides the way. It's whether or not we want to get a hold to that rope and get ourselves out of that mess. Amen? All right, that's all I got.